excuse this noise here for a second. Maybe 2 seconds. Tonight's word is coming from the Gospel of Matthew, and I will go ahead and read that for us. It is, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, be with us now. We pray that you would help us to see things with your spiritual eyes and with spiritual ears, so that we may understand, be blessed, and be transformed to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ more and more in our lives this day. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Many years ago, during a Christmas season, not unlike this one, I had just returned home from work carrying a gift bag, something quite like this, containing some gifts inside of it with some shiny, sparkling paper carrying a gift. When I arrived home, my, at that time, 4-year-old daughter and my 2.5-year-old son ran to meet me at the door to give me my usual hug and a kiss. This greeting was preempted. However, when my daughter saw the gift bag in my hand, in no time at all, she was excitingly being opened up by my daughter. They were so mesmerized by the sparkle paper, they took it and walked away with it with great joy in their hearts. The gift bag with the gifts was left lying on the floor. I called them back to dig further into the bag, and when they did, they discovered with great glee, not the gift, but more paper. My daughter told her brother with excitement, "Look, there's one for you also." Because, of course, the first one was for her. When I called them over a second time to have them look at the gift, they looked at it with puzzlement. They asked me, "What is it?" They did not know what the gift was. They didn't know what to do with it. Their minds were clearly fixed on the sparkly paper. The thing of real value was what they were wondering about. But it did not really get their attention. The thing of value, of course, was none other than the gift. Do you sometimes find yourself like them? Do you think you know what Christmas is about, but in reality, you're missing the point? The thing of real value. Are you consumed with the trappings of the sparkle of Christmas and not paying attention to the substance, the actual gift? Our society is becoming less and less Christian. It sometimes finds itself not knowing what to do with Jesus because they don't know about the Lord. And I think that reflects a state of our society's biblical illiteracy. If you've been watching or reading the news lately, there are a lot of feel-good stories. There are usually a lot of them at this time of the year. Stories like people anonymously going to stores and paying other people's balances off on their layaways. I recall one such feel-good story, or do-good story, of a man who found a bag filled with Christmas gifts as well as $700 cash. He put up signs hoping that the person who lost the bag would see it and he could come and claim the bag so that he could return it to him. He somehow got on the local news, which generated obviously a wider reach and greater publicity. I guess the greater part of the feel-good story sometimes is really not that the person was reunited with his gifts, but it was about all those folks who are doing kind, compassionate, selfless things. And at the end of each of these reports is the familiar chime from the broadcaster, which is, this is what Christmas is all about, doing the right thing. But is doing good deeds is what Christmas is all about? A lot of people believe doing good works is the stuff of an entry ticket into heaven when we die. When you understand the truth about the impact of doing good works for salvation and the meaning of Christmas, you'll discover that it's no less that scandalous to have that type of thought. Maybe we've lost our way in understanding the purpose and meaning of Christmas over the years and are focused on the externals and not on the substance. To find the answer to this question, we must turn to the Bible, which records for us what it is and why it is that we celebrate this thing we call Christmas. Interestingly enough, the story of Christmas begins with none other than a scandal surrounding our Lord. It is actually contained in the passage this evening. In fact, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was a great deal of scandal surrounding the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. On one occasion, in John chapter 8, it records for us that Jesus was engaged in a debate with the authorities about their spiritual lineage, but these powerful men didn't get it. They were concerned with physical lineage. And Jesus stated to them in John chapter 8 and verse 38, I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. That is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did. And they said to him, and here it is, we were not born of sexual immorality. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, 18 and 25 to give us a little more light about the scandal that we're talking about. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not fear, and take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Why was Joseph looking to divorce his betrothed? Well, it was because Mary told him that she was pregnant before they had consummated the marriage. And by the way, she continued to claim that she was a virgin. Joseph wasn't buying any of this. Although he did not want to spend the rest of his life with her, he didn't want her to go through public ridicule and shame. So he decided that he was going to divorce her quietly. Can you imagine being a young girl, 13 to 16 years of age, having to tell your husband, with whom you have not been with, that you're pregnant, and it wasn't with another man, but that you are carrying God's child? What would you think if you were this teenage daughter, a teenage daughter's parent, and they told you this story? Oftentimes, claims are made that Christianity is a made-up religion with fantasies and tales. But I think that if the apostles who reported these events were making up a once-upon-a-time story, usually this news would be met with their immediate belief and compliance, in this case, by the husband, that is, Joseph. But that's not what we have. We have a husband who is not buying it. He wanted out. Just like Jesus' birth was supernatural, it had to take something supernatural to convince Joseph. And that is exactly what happened. In verse 20, Matthew reports that an angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, "Son of David, take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And in this dream, Joseph was told that the child would be a male. He was to name it, and he was to give the name Jesus. Of all the names that could have come directly from heaven's throne, he was to get the name Jesus, which means God saves. And we're told what the purpose of this child's life is: to save his people from their sins. Right from the beginning, Matthew helps us to understand what the initial purpose of the Messiah was. A king, yes, but his immediate purpose was to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Are you his people? Are you one of his people? How did he save his people? Well, he did. He did it so by receiving the punishment they deserved, his people deserved, upon their behalf. He did that by making himself into a substitutionary sacrifice upon the cross. It was upon the cross that God the Father punished, vented his justified wrath upon the Son so that his people would be pardoned in Christ's place. The Apostle Paul brought out the reality of how scandalous the gospel is. I mean, the whole Christian message was so far-fetched and scandalous that it was just unbelievable. It's the kind of stuff that you can't make up. He says to us in 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles." The word for stumbling block in the Greek is skandalon, which is the word that we use for scandal or scandalous. In other words, it was scandalous for Jewish people to believe in a Messiah that was actually crucified on a tree, which was considered a curse by the Mosaic law standards, and foolishness to the Gentiles who expected a military victor, someone in the order of Caesar or Alexander the Great. Not someone who is executed as an insurrectionist by the state. Not one who was born of an economically destitute virgin girl. Now, if you're thinking to yourself all these things, this is great news. How do I receive the benefits of his cross work? It's really quite simple. By trusting in Christ's finished work upon the cross as being entirely and wholly sufficient to save me, you, from your sins. That means we don't try to do good to become saved. Christ did that for us. We become saved just by believing, by faith alone. Christmas is not about doing good things. It's about someone who has done a very good thing for undeserving people just like us. Christmas is not about sparkly paper. It is about the gift. It's about the gift whom God gave to us, the Lord Jesus. May you contemplate upon the great gift of Jesus this Christmas Eve. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great gift that you have given to us. Indeed, you are such a beneficent Father that you give us so many good things. You gave us the Holy Spirit, you've given us your word, and you gave us your very own Son to die in our place, to receive the punishment that we deserve. And we thank you for that, Father. And we ask that if there are any this evening that are your people, but yet that have not recognized it, that tonight would be the night that they would believe, that they would trust in what Christ has done for them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.